In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark, Roz Walsh, and Erin Shores as we talk about relationships and learning to spot the demons behind the drama. Join us for this episode. Hello, loyal listeners. Welcome to another episode of What the Prophets Say with me, Emma Stark. We are in Glasgow in Scotland, in the northern freezing parts of the European continent. And I am joined as ever, as it's been my joy for the last 4 episodes. It's the fifth time you are with me. The joy that is...
Roz Walsh.
And Erin Shores.
Roz and Erin and Emma. All wearing black shoes. Now, normally that should not be a noteworthy thing, but I don't own black shoes.
Entering new territory,
I am entering new territory. Yeah. I feel a little bit uncomfortable.
You look glorious.
Thank you.
That is life. That is trying something new, isn't it?
Trying something new. Who would have thought it was black shoes?
You're a pioneer, Emma.
Pioneer.
I'm always trying new coffees. You're trying new shoes.
Well, next week, everybody will be wearing black shoes. I'll be a trendsetter.
Absolutely.
Not. I don't know why I have such an aversion to them. But yeah. I was so fed up cleaning the white versions that I have of trainers, sneakers, that I thought, right, that's enough of that.
I do love a white trainer, but it puts you through your paces.
You have to get proper, like, scratchy stuff to keep wiping down the leather.
I just get bored. I'm not going to lie. I'm not really into shoes. If you want to talk to me about food and coffee, I am your person. But I'm like, am I clothed? Am I decent for public consumption? Great. That's my barometer.
Is it washed?
Yeah, is it washed? Am I clean?
I have no grid for that thought, Ross.
I'm like, what statement am I making today?
That is totally what I think. Totally.
Yeah, I know. I love the creativity of clothes. I love that every morning.
Really?
I feel like we're actually quite contained in what we can wear in our social context. There's like a certain line that you can hit and then start people thinking, you know,
because it's ministry and there is a demure sense of modesty.
Intrigued. What would you wear if all gloves are off and you were in the privacy of your own home?
Oh, like, dear, please be this inappropriate answer. Would it be?
Yeah, I know, right? I love big dresses. Oh. I love the fun of big dresses. They're completely impractical. You know, I could never hop on a bus in...
Are we talking like hoop skirts? Like big dresses?
Now we're really off topic.
No hate is with the error. We are here for this.
You know, like 1950s Dior, like the height of Dior when he had the big skirts and everything's colorful. It's so ladylike and it's so extra and you get hats and gloves and all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
I feel like I would do it for a week and I'd be like, yeah, enough of this. But I got to do it for a week.
Well, next week,
Erin. At the next recording, you may see Erin in gloves, hat and a really big skirt.
Yeah.
I think you need a fair amount of, ruffles underneath, don't you? What's the word? Not voile. I can't think of the word.
Crinoline? Tulle?
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Tulle, where they, fluff out.
Yes, yeah. So you need the like volume.
Like a meringue.
Yeah.
Excellent. That would be brilliant. And shoes, what would you wear with that?
You'd have to have some fabulous heels, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yes,
not black.
Actually, often when I'm with Jesus in the spirit, I'm in this big red outfit, this big red dress with a giant red hat, because he's always reminding me that I was made to be dramatic.
I love that.
Yeah. Yes.
I love shopping with Jesus, wardrobe shopping. Mm-hmm. And, I love shopping anyway, but but just shape, color, design, texture, the God of creation, I think is fascinated by all those things. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the instructions for the ephod or the temple. The design of God is utterly fascinating. Creation, our own frame. That's my creativity. Because I can't paint. Sorry. Don't write in and say I can. I can't. I can't even draw stick men. The game Pictionary is almost a waste of time. Fair enough.
Yeah, God is colorful. He's, you know, we were talking about the seven spirits and, yes. you know, each one has color associated with it.
Does.
And all the descriptions in scripture of heaven, they're so colorful and yes. and bold and big. And yeah, I think he loves color and creativity.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But you find it in food. Yeah.
Give me food, give me coffee, give me a weird coffee. I am there with bells.
You
on.
Have eaten, drunk some very odd coffee combinations.
Yeah.
Love it. My favorite, can I tell you my favorite quickly? Has anyone tried egg coffee?
No, this is just ridiculous. Who wants to put an egg into their coffee?
So it is a slightly misnamed. So it's Vietnamese. I just love Vietnamese food. And so basically, you get good black coffee, and then you get egg whites and you whip it up into like thick whipped meringue, and then you put the meringue on top of the coffee, and it's like dessert in a cup. It's so phenomenal.
Do you sugar the meringue?
Yes. So it's and super sweet.
So and do you heat it so it's like an Italian meringue rather than a French meringue?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's just, yes, that is dessert, isn't it?
Just eat a meringue pie.
Yeah.
But then you've got the coffee as well, so it's like a bonus. It's a 2-for-1, dessert and coffee.
The topping of lemon meringue pie.
Yeah, exactly.
Scooped off into...
Exactly. But yes, I'm always looking for orange coffee or lavender coffee or...
Didn't you have an iron brew coffee one time?
I did not like that.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
That's disgusting.
That was for not, those of, I would not go back.
For those of you, iron brew... is Scotland's national fizzy soda pop. Mm-mm. And it's bright, luminous neon orange. Mm-hmm. The story is it's made from iron filings, made from girders is the Scottish word, but from iron. I don't think it is.
Yeah.
It's just sugar and dye. And it's disgusting, sorry, but the Scottish drink, it is the only country in the world where... that soft drink outsells Pepsi or Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has a strange bubblegum flavor. It's orange and I always anticipate it to taste kind of like an orange soda, but it's bubblegummy.
No, it's like red creaming soda for the Australians, yeah. but bright orange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure it totally dyes your inside.
I mean, it sits pretty heavy in your stomach. It feels like iron. Maybe that's why it's called
Scottish
iron brew.
Scottish get very protective about it.
Yeah.
How on earth would you put that into a coffee? You wouldn't mix orange Fanta and a coffee.
It goes badly. I like orange coffee. So if you get iced coffee with fresh orange juice, that works. Genuinely, I promise you it's good. But espresso and a shot of iron brew soft drink, it does not work. It tastes very dirty, earthy.
What about lavender coffee? What on earth did you do with that?
So again, I found that really lovely. Oh, look, if anyone has suggestions for coffees for me, please let me know and where I can find them. I'm always looking for new coffee experiences.
So lavender, you did what? You just sprinkled...
Well, I mean, I pay people to make this for me. Oh, okay. It's not me at home. I just go into cafes and I'm like, oh, lavender coffee. Let me try that. And some are good and some are bad.
What was in the lavender?
It's
syrup?
It's like a syrup. It's a lavender syrup. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yuck.
I'm not sure that I'm on board with that, but okay.
No, the coffee shop down the road from us are doing this Spanish latte, which was disgusting. But I think it's white chocolate in with your coffee.
Oh,
no.
Interesting.
Just no.
I've heard of Spanish coffee that is condensed milk.
Oh, yes.
Which,
That Vietnamese coffee does that.
Vietnamese coffee,
sweet and condensed milk.
Yeah, so you got to pray for your arteries before you drink it.
Speaking of prayer,
yeah.
Thanks for that. Yeah. A gear change now that we have led people a caffeine merry dance.
Yep.
God made coffee.
Crinoline and caffeine. It's been a glorious conversation.
Yes. Erin, it is your turn to set the pace. Mm-hmm. Where are we going?
Yeah. So I so feel the Lord's hand on relationships right now.
Healthy, good relationships. Healthy,
good relationships.
We all now are cheering all in podcast land. Yes. I want healthy, good relationships.
Yeah.
I want lasting relationships.
Yes.
I want 30, 40-year-old relationships. Yes. Come on.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, and just that, yeah, God really cares about us having those, and they're necessary. I feel like we have entered a time where he's really intentionally pointing us to be healthy in our relationships, and he wants to see those relationships built. He wants to partner with us in that and actually give us tools, remind us of his wisdom, of the tools he gives us to have those healthy, whole relationships.
Before you even go on to unpack that, the fact that the Lord is saying, I want you to have this, that is enough for several hundred of us listening to this, if not several thousand of us listening to this, to go, God, if that's what you want, here am I receive.
Amen. Absolutely.
Let's start there by praying that. If this is on the Lord's heart, we want it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I mean, this was incredibly exciting to me as someone who's had, you know, lots of relational turmoil in my life. I have lots of experience in ups and downs.
And actually, an awful lot of our relationships, quite legitimately, we would call transactional friendships, transactional relationships.
Yeah.
And when what we do changes, change job, change church, we find that they weren't heart relationships. Mm-hmm. They were not illegitimate, but they were transactional. Mm-hmm. We came and we exchanged what was required for that period of time, but there's nothing beyond that transactional point.
Yeah.
But God's pushing something else.
Yeah, he's really pushing those heart relationships, the soul friends, the people that you're meant to do life with, to be in community with, just having people around you that you can be vulnerable with, honest with, you can wrestle through things together. Yes. You can allow yourself to trust them, to invite them in. This is, just really consistently in my time with the Lord, hitting into this objective that
this
he has.
And as you say, it comes from some turmoil.
Yeah.
As a lot of good things do. God pushes us so that we can become a signpost for others.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what has he specifically said in addition to that, Erin?
Yeah. So in that pursuit, he led me to Ephesians 6. So this is verses 10 to 18. And probably most of us would know that quite well. This is the armor of God. This is our blueprint for Christian warfare.
Yeah.
And he really, I just want to read this portion of it. These verses direct us to put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. Mm. And that line, schemes of the devil, got to grab onto that. And it's followed by, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, principalities, and powers of darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. And so it's a chance to look at this and consider our relationships, how we function in our relationships, how do we view our relationships, and actually to look at conflict in a different way, and to actually allow the Lord to reshape how we look at conflict with people, and to be able to step back and spot the demon behind the drama. How do we pause in interactions with our friends, with our family, and actually not partner with the scheme of the enemy, not get pulled in or sucked in or become a partner with what the enemy is up to, with what Satan's trying to pull off, but actually partner with God, be able to pause and say, Lord, what is happening in the spirit? How do you need me to respond? What is actually driving this? What is actually fueling this? And can I pause and spot the demon that is behind this drama and actually partner with your better plan, your better word, and not fall prey to the schemes of the enemy?
Very helpful. In other words, what we, you and I, or you and your friend, are resolving is not always an issue between you and I, you and your friend, but is something demonically shadowing that the two of you together turn and deal with in conversations rather than a tit for tat warfare that actually decimates trust and future connection, because you have done warfare in the biblical way where you say, oh, Jesus, help. I think you need to illuminate here. We are being resisted rather than you are being an irritant to the other person. Yes. And being brave enough to speak into friendships in that way. I want this friendship to work. I think we're being resisted. And if we're not careful, we're going to become those who are offended by each other whenever we need to actually spot the demon behind the drama, which I love that phrase.
Yeah, I just kind of in looking at this, I remembered actually a recent experience with this. And I, someone sort of passed along a conversation that they'd had, and sort of a statement had been made about me. And I immediately was like, that's not fair. And I could just, I could feel it kind of coming up of that. That's not very accurate. I don't know where they got that from. How on earth did that? Yeah, that's not me. That's no reflection of my character. And it was so fascinating. I'd never had it happen so quickly. It just, even in the processing of this, I suddenly had this in the spirit. I smelt fish. I smelt seawater. And I was, and I stopped and I thought, what on earth am I smelling that for? And suddenly it clicked. I was like, Leviathan. Oh my gosh, this is Leviathan. And suddenly my attitude completely changed. It was a case of complete miscommunication. And so suddenly, instead of getting so uppity about something that that had been said, I realized, well, if Leviathan's at work, he can get his sticky fish scales off of my relationship. He can take his little pokey tail and get the heck out of here, because I am not going to fall prey and partner with the twisting of communication that Leviathan is going to do.
That's good.
See, that's quite as a leap of maturity there to go, I'm wounded, or I'm misthought of, or I'm miscommunicated about. Now, every facet of your being at that point wants to go in to defend, protect, offense.
Absolutely.
As our almost knee-jerk reaction to that. That's something quite remarkable, Erin, to say, I will set down my right to be offended because I have been poorly thought of or misrepresented. And I will immediately fly into the heights of the spirit, be spiritually alert and aware enough to be able to say, what is the demon? And to not go, how dare you think that about me?
And I think that's what this is about. It's a call to maturity in our relationships. It's the call to actually allow God to build that capacity within us so that we can navigate our relationships on a much higher level of maturity than maybe we have in the past. And, you know, I would not say that that is how I have always navigated those situations, but I've gotten to the point where I that's where I want to be at. That's that is how I want to be able to respond to things. And so, yeah, it was a very interesting experience to have it, to have it happen so quickly like that, to have such quick understanding of what was really going on. And actually what could have stolen, you know, my time, my peace, all of that very quickly turned around into, well, I know now exactly how I'm going to pray about this. And it was interesting too, because even just the moment that that was kind of shared with me, I could feel the weight come on me. I could feel almost a sense of oppression of the, you know, the moment of, well, I've got to go into self-protection now. I've got to go into defense. I've got to think about how I'm going to deal with this and counteract that. But instead, it turned into, actually, no, I will not partner with you, Leviathan. And so I break that off of me. I pray for this person. I bless this person. And I say, and I said, you know, every time that if you try this ever again, I will bless this person. You know, I will stay in a state of blessing that person.
That
I will not
totally
let you do
opposite
this.
Opposite to normal practice and behavior, Erin. Totally opposite. Yes.
Yeah. And so I think it's this, it's a learning moment for us as the body of Christ to invite God into our relationships, to re vision or you know, reestablish us on these principles of what it really means to, I will not struggle with the flesh. Mm-hmm. I will only combat the mm-hmm. spirit behind it. And I will be wiser in my relationships. I will be wiser in recognizing what I'm dealing with. Mm-hmm. And I will fight the correct battle. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to waste my time fighting the wrong battle.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very helpful. Mm-hmm. Rose, yeah. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I think for me, you know, I've worked in marketing for many years, especially mm-hmm. social media. And we all know in social media, there's a lot of negative comments. Mm-hmm. And I always teach people, especially they're entering social media for the first time, mm-hmm. when dealing with negative comments, you don't have to attend every fight that you're invited to. Mm. And that's really important. Mm-hmm. Just because someone has made an unkind comment does not require you to then go and make an unkind comment back. That is not something you have to do. You don't have to respond like for like. And I regularly will be like, okay, Lord, what is the demon behind this? Whenever I'm dealing with, because my team oversees the social media for GPA. You know, I'm often like, okay, what is the demon behind this comment? Mm-hmm. You know, what is actually our response to this? Do we even need to respond? Mm-hmm. And so I'm regularly praying and warfaring for GPA social media, for GPA's broadcast, mm-hmm. but also for myself as well. Because if you go back to Ephesians 6, we exist in a world that mm-hmm. has a present darkness. We exist mm-hmm. in a world that has spiritual evil in the heavenly realms.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so we need to be going, okay, is my antenna switched on today? How is my discernment of spirits going? You know, am I wearing the armor of God? I actually put on the armor of God every day. And for me, it's a physical act. Mm-hmm. I like to put on my helmet of salvation, my breastplate of righteousness. And I've actually mm-hmm. sat down and gone, what do each of these do? Well, the righteousness protects my heart. Yeah. So is my heart righteous? The belt of truth. You know, is it around my waist? So is it like, because basically mm-hmm. if you have your belt around your waist in, I believe, Israel times, it was ready for work. And if it's around your chest, it's at rest. So is my belt around my waist because I'm ready to go to work with the truth of mm-hmm. God mm-hmm. in the atmospheres that I serve mm-hmm. in? And so for me, it's a very visceral thing. And I am a very practical person, but I'm like, have I got my feet ready with the gospel of peace? And how mm-hmm. am I speaking peace today? And so it really is that warfare strategy. And I mm-hmm. am, do you know Sun Tzu? He wrote the seminal work, The Art of War. I am fan of Sun Tzu. He's from 600 BC, a Chinese general. And he writes, you know your enemy. Mm-hmm. So one of the main things about Ephesians, we need to know our enemy. We need to know who we're fighting against.
Know the wiles of the enemy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think it's fascinating, the phrase, this present darkness.
Yes.
Dear old Frank Peretti writes mm-hmm. along those lines, doesn't he? Yeah. But this present darkness, the sense of acknowledging that my relationships, whilst under the common grace of God, mm-hmm. are also an enemy target to be shrouded in the present darkness mm-hmm. of the ruler, prince of the power of the air, as mm-hmm. Ephesians 2 calls Satan. Mm-hmm. And that there's a shadowing of that they're not in a neutral place. Mm-hmm. And therefore, healthy, good relationships will often need some sort of spiritual warfare and mm-hmm. input to keep them in the trajectory that we want them to go on. Mm-hmm. To think that I just give up and I walk away because I had a moment of offense is not warfare minded. No. You have mm-hmm. to come to the table to think, how will I fight to protect and preserve this mm-hmm. in moments of offense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because even, you know, a relationship is, I'm in partnership with the other person. And so I can't control the other person. I can only take charge of my response. Mm. I can only take charge of my half of this relationship. And so the other person, they have their own struggles. They have their own wounds. They have their own sort of things that the enemy can poke at and dig at them about, which can sometimes land on you. And so it's a lesson of recognizing I can steward myself. I can steward my love for you. I can steward my respect for you. Mm. But I have to recognize that you have your own piece to steward, and how then do we navigate that together in a way that mm-hmm. we want to keep this relationship going? So let's try to work together at this.
I'm fascinated as I travel around the world, and particularly because we have such a multiplicity of cultures in the staff team, how different mm-hmm. nations handle different relationships.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So of course, Erin, you're from a Dutch background, and Suzanne, my assistant, is Dutch. They are the most honest people I have ever met. It is terrifying in its honesty. It is a cut. So you are never in doubt how, where you stand, how they feel about something. You will get absolute truth. And they have no grid for lies. Mm-hmm. And they perceive perhaps what the... we've just come back from Mexico, so I was with the kind of Latino vibe, which I personally love. The rhythm, the sound, the music, the joy, the fire, all of that is much more my vibe. But they're almost diametrically in opposition to the Dutch approach in that... they don't want to offend you. Mm-hmm. And it, so the culture, so everything is no problem, even if it is. Yeah. And everything is fine, even when it's not fine. And it's a glossing over, and it's just a cultural predisposition. Mm-hmm. And I do think that relationships require, no matter what culture you're in, you have more honest conversations. Mm-hmm. We are really woeful about catching some things before there's decimation, no matter what culture you're in, whether it's straight talking. Canadians are...
we talk in a circle.
I was going to say they fluff.
Yes.
But Canadians fluff around, you know, bit like the Mexican, they don't want to offend. Mm-hmm. It's actually quite winsome, but it does mean that you never know where you stand.
Yeah. I mean, it was fascinating being in a Dutch family growing up in a culture like Canada, because we're just very direct with each other to the point of, like, if you were listening, you'd be like, do they, like, it's quite, is that mean? I'm not sure. And I got in trouble with some of quite often growing up of, like, why are you being so mean? Oh, well, I thought you already knew that. Or, like, that's the truth. So, like, don't you want to hear it? No, you got to fluff it up. You got to
soften it.
Soften it as much as possible.
But I think we have lost the art of the honest conversation in relationships to our detriment.
Yeah, I think conflict has become something to be feared. And it's not even necessarily conflict. An honest conversation doesn't have to lead to conflict.
Yes.
It's just a case of, let's have this conversation sooner rather than later. And even just asking questions. You know, I just want to understand where you're coming from. I just want to understand your perspective. So I just want to ask some questions that will give me insight into what is going on, and just having to be, hopefully that leading to an honest conversation about where you're both at.
And I think,
no, go for it, Ros.
I was going to say, and I think also understanding what resolution is. Yes. You know, resolution is not always, you need to admit that I was right.
Oh, gracious.
You know, resolution is like, how can we come together and move forward together? Because the enemy is always about division. The enemy, like, what's the resolution the enemy wants? And what's the resolution God wants? And how often do we ask that question? God, what's the resolution you want in the situation? And what do I need to do to walk towards that? So just really bringing back God into conflict resolution to go, right, Lord, what should I be walking towards in this matter?
That's good, yeah.
And because our specialization is the spirit realm, and you're pushing us in to spot the demon behind the drama, let's go somewhere slightly different with this. We know that when Paul comes out of prison in Acts, and he goes and knocks on the door, and Rhoda comes to the door, she mistakes it as his angel.
Yes.
And you see this beautiful and slightly unusual sense that your angel is so familiar with you, you're those that God has given charge to look after you, Psalm 91 and other scriptures, where his angels guard and minister to you, Hebrews 1, that they actually can look like you. That's very clear in that unusual scripture. Mm. Now, that means that whoever is looking after you spiritually as an angel custodian of your life, along with the triune Godhead, is so familiar with your modus operandi, so familiar and actually in agreement with the call of God on your life, in agreement with how you do it, and agreement with your personality traits that God has given to you, they actually take on some facets of how you look. And that's interesting. Mm. Now, I say that to make this point.
Okay.
Okay?
We're ready.
We're ready. Okay, because we're doing spot the demon behind the drama. We know Satan is a mimic. And one of my friends said to me recently, in fact, you know, because you heard me have this chat in the kitchen earlier this morning. She said to me, I saw the Emma Stark demon. I'm like, oh my word, Lord of mercy on us all. Who goes around putting your face on and misrepresenting who you are around the world.
Fascinating.
So that people take something from you that you never give. Now that woke me up in a shot because I'm like, oh, of course. I've already read in scripture that the angels, you know, look like their charges and there is that sense of synergy. But actually, Satan's masquerading.
Yes.
And that perhaps we have not seen this friendship dynamic or this miscommunication as needing as much spiritual warfare as it needs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that in the this present darkness concept, we are dealing with misleading demonic forces, let's go there, that I'm happy with that, that are miscommunicating and aiding offense and aiding misunderstanding and aiding belittling and demeaning because it suits us to be for us to be at war. And that it may well be that you had to deal with Leviathan, Aaron, but that we may have to go in prayer. Whatever misrepresents in the spirit is destroyed, is pulled down in the name of Jesus. That actually we can be seen by each other. Now, you are right in Corinthians here where it says this. Now, this is, I need to, has anybody got their phone on there? Double check my references. I think it's 1 Corinthians 5 and it's, or 2 Corinthians 5, it's certainly chapter 5 and it's about verse 19. Therefore, regard nobody from a worldly point of view. In other words, see them by the Spirit is the concept of that entire passage.
Yeah, it's so good.
Are we 1 Corinthians 5?
Yeah, just quickly checking.
About 15 to 19, I think. Just hold the page. We need to get it.
2 Corinthians 5. Let's try that one.
Yes. It's that sense of I must see you according to who God says you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians 5:20.
I wasn't far off.
You were very, very, very close.
But regard nobody after the flesh, the passage goes on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't see anybody as the world would see them, which is basically as Satan would portray them to be. Don't look at anybody as Satan wants you to see them.
Yeah.
And know that you are probably being portrayed as Satan wants you to be portrayed. Mm-hmm. And that does need to be decimated in prayer.
Yeah, yeah. Because if you are... If you're building, you know, these deeper relationships, if you're open to that, I think it's the same in that sense of actually, I want people in my life who see me in the spirit for who God has made me to be.
Yes.
And actually then there's the grace for when I have my bad days where ultimately they're on my team. They're on my side because they are looking at me how God looks at me. And I in turn
not from a worldly point of view.
I in turn am looking at them not through the schemes of Satan or the lens of the world, but I'm seeing them the way that God is seeing them.
Yeah. Well, guys, some of you now have some strident warfare to do and to not to choose offense and to kill some Leviathans and to see each other after the spirit. So we bless you to spot the demon behind the drama. Thank you for joining us for this episode of What the Prophets Say. We bless you and we will see you very soon. Take care. Goodbye. Hello, friends. I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app, and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the partv.app.